I think the scripture reading will be on the screen, but I also, if you prefer to read it in your own Bible, the reading comes from Romans chapter 16, and I almost think that might be a good chapter for school teachers. You know, you get there the first couple of days and you've got to pronounce all the kids' names right, or at least learn how to pronounce them correctly. And so here in Romans 16, there's a whole list of names, and we're going to try to pronounce them as best we can, at least. And Paul, writing to the church in Rome, is remembering a lot of the people that have been a part of the church and a part of his past, his history and the relationships. And so he's sort of sending his greetings and remembering them. And so he begins chapter 16, verse 1, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Cenchreae. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I'm thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphras. He was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Andronicus and Junia, who my fellow Jews who were in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stasis. Greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves. And give my greetings to the believers from the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. Give my greetings to Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who meet with them. Give my greetings to Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and to Olympus, and all the believers who meet with them. Greet each other in Christian love. All the churches of Christ send you their greetings." And I hope I got most of those correct, at least. But if you paid attention, or if you go back and count them, there are 26 people named. I'm sure that's not all of the friends and all of the people who were there who were friends of Paul's, but he names a few at least. And the problem with naming names is you always seem to forget someone, and so he kind of generalizes by using the church or the people that meet at their home and so forth. There are Jews and Greeks and Romans. In the list, there are women and sisters and a mother and a kind of adopted mother, relatives, wealthy and poor, nobles and slaves and servants. There's Phoebe, the deaconess and supporter. There's Priscilla and Aquila, who were friends in several ways. They were brothers and sisters in Christ, but they also had the same occupation. They made tents, which used by people who traveled or lived, and so they knew one another there. There's Rufus, who some wonder, at least, perhaps he was the son of Simon, If you remember the story of the crucifixion, there is Simon who's coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And some wonder if that might not be the same Rufus who was the son of the man who carried the cross. We don't know that for sure. We'll never know that for sure. But Rufus had a mother. She's not named, but Paul says she's been a mother to me. And how many of us have had that kind of adopted lady in our life who's somehow been influential or kind of like a mom in some ways, adopted kind of mom? Well, Paul mentions only a few of those who were involved in his ministry, some who are probably there in the church in Rome and part of sharing the gospel and the message of hope with others. Andronicus and Junius, who were believers before Paul, and people who've been a part of his spiritual life and helped him to grow, and now he's had an influence in their lives. And I believe that one of the most significant ways that God blesses us is through friends who help us along our journey in life, who help us in the good things and the tough things, who are there in the trials, but also who are there in the good things. And I believe as well that God wants us to be a friend and a help to others. Last week we talked about the friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that we need those kind of friends, and those people are friends that we have learned to cherish, and God blesses us with them. But they're also friends who help us. And so I've kind of used as my outline the word help, H-E-L-P, as kind of the acrostic that we're looking at. But all of these friends that Paul mentions and many others are friends who have helped him. And I believe that as we think about our own friends, there are hearing friends. And so the H stands for hearing or listening friends who hear us, who listen to us, who are paying attention, who somehow understand what we're saying and they pay attention. You know, sometimes when we talk to people, we say, "How are you?" And they say, "Oh, I'm fine." And you really aren't paying attention. And sometimes, you know, we're busy doing our own thing and somebody's talking to us. But then if we were to think back, what did they say? We have no idea. There was a great president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he decided to find out if anybody was really listening one time in his life. And so as people came up to greet him with their extended hand, he would say to them, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And people would automatically respond with one of those cat phrases, "So that's nice," or "Please continue your great work," or "That's fine, good for you." And there was one diplomat from another country who, when he said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," he replied, "Well, she certainly must have deserved it." Sometimes we have friends who aren't listening, but praise God for the ones who do, who listen to what we say, or who stop and they sit down, or they pay attention, they're tuned in. And they help us by listening. And sometimes as they listen, they offer some wise counsel. The story is told of a great actress named Billie Burke from a century ago. And she was traveling on a ship across the Atlantic Ocean, one of those luxury liners of that day. And she noticed across the room this man who was suffering greatly with a cold. And he was sniffling and blowing his nose. And she felt kind of sorry for him. So she went up to him and she said, are you feeling lousy? And he said, "Yes, I feel awful." And she said to him, "Well, let me tell you what to do." She said, "Go back to your stateroom and drink all the orange juice you can, take 2 aspirin, and then get all the blankets you can and just pile them on and sweat out that cold, and you'll feel better soon." She said, "I'm Billy Burke. I'm from Hollywood." He said, "It's nice to meet you, Billy Burke. I'm Dr. Mayo from the Mayo Clinic." And there are people who might give us some wise counsel. But if they listen and they're honest and they're genuine, even their maybe less than helpful counsel can still make a difference. Hearing friends care about how we feel, and they ask us. They talk to us and they listen. A second kind of friend is those educated friends who help us. They help us by teaching us. They're kind of our role models and they're our mentors. They are people who have information. And I remember on several occasions when I have a financial question, I'd go to my good friend Don Grunlier. I can't go to him anymore. I kind of miss that. But he was the one who I could share and ask him what he thought, and he'd give me a wise answer. A guy who knew about my finances and money and things, and I miss that. But sometimes those educated friends, those people who kind of know about the things that you need to know about, or trying to teach you some things that you're trying to learn. And so maybe it's how to drive a car, or maybe it's how to ride a bicycle, those little things. Or maybe it's how do I get this newfangled computer to work, because I'm trying to get online to check my things, and sometimes educated friends can help us. They inspire us to loftier ideals, and they say, "Well, you can do this. All you've got to do is just keep trying and keep working." And so whether it's sports as a coach or work in your job or recreation, friends often help us to move to higher and better. They sometimes help us correct our thinking. We have it wrong, or we have it not quite right. And I read the story of a seminary student. He was taking the preaching class that every seminary student is supposed to take, and he had turned in his sermon, and the professor met with him. And he said, "I like your exegesis." That's the translation of the scripture and making sense out of it. And he said, "I like your points and your progression and your introduction and your conclusion. They all have a great deal of thought. I like your sermon, but I'm going to have to give you a D." And the student responded, if it's a good sermon, then why do I get a D?" He said, "Well, it's the title. It's the worst title I've ever heard." He said, "Nobody will want to come and hear a sermon on the pericopes of Jesus in relationship to the eschatology of the Apostle Paul." And so he said, "If you want, I'll give it back to you. You can take it home and redo the sermon title and hand it back in, and maybe I'll reconsider the grade." And so the young man went home, and, well, first he asked, "Well, what do you suggest? What kind of title do I need?" And the professor said, "Well, you need the kind of title where people will be drawn in, such as if it was printed on the sign out front of the church and a bus drove by and stopped, they'd want to get off and come in and listen to the message." So the young man went home, and he said he'd give it his best shot. And the next day he came back, and he turned in his sermon, and the title was, "Your Bus Has a Bomb on It." So I don't have a bus with a bomb on it sermon today, I don't think, but hopefully educated friends can help us to learn things, or to try new things, or to rethink things, or to do it over and turn it in again. And then there are the loyal friends who help us. They're those friends who support us in our hard times. They're the people who when you're sick, they bring you a meal, or they are there for you when a loved one has passed away. And they don't even have to say anything. They just come and they sit there and they listen, or they're there by your side. They're friends who are there. And how many soldiers have foxhole friends that are friends for life, because they have they have fought together in that hard situation. And I assume through the coronavirus, there'll be people who will be friends for life, doctors and nurses and people who've fought through this battle and they've overcome or they've helped one another, those friends that are loyal. And there are people who are faithful not only in our hard time, but they're also faithful in their own hard times. Even when they are going through the worst things in their lives, they say, well, how are you? What are you doing? Are you okay? And so many times I've talked to some of the folks that are in a wheelchair. Our friend Marty, who I call and say, how are you? And before I get done, it's like, how are you? And somehow we think faithful friends are those who are there for us. And yet they seem to continue to be there. There's a story of an elderly lady. She had a tough Sunday. We had a spill at Boat Church. A couple of ladies in their plastic chairs tipped over, and fortunately they were fine. Just one of those holes that you sink into out there in the ground. But this lady passed out in church, and she hit her head on the end of the pew, and the EMTs were called, and they came and they attended her, and as she was kind of being ushered out, she whispered something to her daughter. And everybody thought maybe it was kind of her last words or something that she needed to say, but come to find out, she said to her daughter, my offering is in my purse. And there are those faithful friends who, even in their hard knocks, they don't forget the things that are important, people that are important, and they care about what happens to others just almost as much as what happens to them. Loyal friends, and we have them, and praise God for those who are there for us in every situation of life. And then there are the progressive friends, purposeful friends. They are people who are there to help keep us going and to motivate us to get moving or to keep going. And I have had some great friends who have kept me going. And I don't jog very much anymore. It's not good for my old bones, but I do like to walk and such. But in earlier days, I would often meet my friend Justin Lunsford out at the corner of Hillcrest Baptist Church there on a cold, frosty morning or on a hot summer morning. And many times, if it were just up to me and he wasn't there, I'd say, I'm not going today. It's too cold or it's too hot or I don't feel like it. And I know he felt the same way, but to have somebody there waiting and knowing that they're there is just sort of a motivation. And I had a similar friend in southern Indiana, and there are many of those. You have those people that you know they're waiting on you. They're depending on you. They're expecting you. And they help you keep going. They help you stay healthy, or they help you be strong, or they help you to discover new things. And somehow they push us, or they motivate us, or they inspire us to do things that maybe we wouldn't do if they weren't there for us. And so there's those purposeful, progressive friends. Maybe you've heard about the farmer out in Nebraska who you can look it up, Google it if you'd like to. Herman Ostrey's barn was under about 29 inches of water because of the rising creek. And there in Bruno, Nebraska, he needed to move that barn from its current location to a new pad that they had constructed and poured about 140 feet away. And so he invited his friends to a barn raising. And his son Mike developed a lattice work around the inside and outside of the barn. And they nailed and bolted and welded tubing together. And so they created this lattice work of handles. And after one practice lift, 344 volunteers picked up a 17,000-pound barn, and they walked up a slight incline, and in 3 minutes, they had carried that barn up to its new location, set it on its feet. You can be amazed at what happens if you have teamwork. You have faithful friends. You have people that will show up, and each one of them carrying less than 50 pounds apiece, move that barn up to its new location. Well, somehow progressive friends, purposeful friends, they teach us new things, and they help us try new things, and they say, you can do this, and we can make that together. Well, God provides for us in so many ways. And you read that 16th chapter of Romans, and you think, why is this in the Bible? What does this mean? But all of those people, every single one of them, precious to Paul, and reminds us of the people in our lives who helped us along the way and who've been part of our journey in faith. God provides for us. And one of the most significant ways is the friends who help us. Those friends that hear us and listen to us, and those friends who teach us and educate us, and those who are loyal and there for us, faithful, those who are purposeful and progressive. And we also have a God who helps us, a God who is there. And so many times we just go to Him with our prayers and our concerns and our fears, and there's that sense of peace that passes understanding. God provides for us by His own Holy Spirit. And I believe that perhaps He may be calling you to be a friend, maybe to somebody this week whose path you come across, somebody who's hurting, someone who's lost a loved one, somebody who just needs someone to talk to, maybe somebody who's hit their head on the end of the pew, or maybe they've stumbled in some way, or maybe they've just been through a lonely time. Maybe as you go through your work or your activities this week, that person will come to mind, and the Holy Spirit will just bring their memory to yours, and you say, I think I ought to call on that person. I ought to check on that person. I ought to maybe stop by and see them. And somehow it's important that we do that. It's important as well that we think about how do we share Christ with others. I read a survey that said that 67% of those who have never attended church have never been invited. So 2/3 of the people out there who don't go to church have never been invited to go to church. How simple is it to say, would you like to go to church with me? Would you like to come and sit with me? And if you're uncomfortable inside, then how about outside? Or let me show you how to get it online if you'd like to. Or some way to share with friends the hope we have in Christ. Maybe this week that person will come to mind. Or maybe you mow their yard, or you fix their fence, or maybe you have extra tomatoes or zucchini. Oh. I don't know about zucchini, but it might be a good way to get in a friendship visit anyway. However God might inspire you to connect with someone else, praise God for those friends who help us. And praise God that we can be the friend who helps as well. I'm going to close in a word of prayer, invite us to pray together. Heavenly Father, as we go through this week, bring to our minds the people who need a friend or who need our help in some way. Help us to listen, Lord, and not to be so busy that we're distracted and don't hear what they say or what's coming from their heart. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to Your Holy Spirit's prompting. And God, thank You for the people You've put in our lives. And help us, Lord, just to tell them that we're thankful for them, that we appreciate them, that they mean so much to us. And Lord, thank you for your friendship as well. We just want to praise you and honor you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.